Harvest New Beginnings Church is located in Oswego, Illinois. We exist for God's glory alone, encouraging each other to have a deep love for God and a sincere love for people. This message is brought to you by Pastor Scott Poling.
I just want to say thank you for letting us just come into your living room and come into your family room, come into your kitchen, wherever you are. This is really different, obviously. And this is a time for us just to worship, to seek God together and to learn. And that last song really kind of captures some important points. I will put my trust in you and I will not be shaken. And so let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this time. And I would just pray your blessing on your word as it goes forth. Lord, I just want to pray that you would help me to be faithful as a man of God in declaring your word. And Father, I just want to pray for all these that are at home, wherever they are, that they would be greatly encouraged. Father, that we would not live in fear, but live in faith. And Lord, I just pray that you would enable me as I preach, not seeing anyone, but that you would touch lives, that you would touch hearts. And we just pray your blessing on your word, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, there is a very ominous, foreboding feeling across our land. Schools have closed. Restaurants have closed. Sports seasons have ended early. Weddings, graduations have been postponed. And in some states and in some locations, there's a mandatory shelter at home. And most of us today are holed up in our homes. That's where we are. And we're practicing this strange new occurrence called social distancing. And so you at home right now, 6 feet apart, okay? Go ahead. So this is a time for us to come together. And I am grateful that we're able to come into the church and do this. In the state of Illinois, obviously, they've shut everything down, but they've allowed for a religious exemption for social services. And we've had an attorney check that out, and so we're able to do this. There are some other exceptions. Medical facilities are open. Grocery stores are open. And I went to the grocery store the other day, and like many of you, it was a very strange experience. You could tell people were uneasy, shelves were empty, and there were signs saying, you know, limit to so many items per person. And you may be wondering, like many people are wondering, well, what's going to happen? What's going to happen if the food runs out? And what's going to happen if they can't resupply? And toilet paper is one thing, but what about milk and bread and eggs and meat? And what if this panic ensues, and some people think will happen? And those are really good questions. And I don't have an answer for you. But I know someone who does. And so what I wanted you to do right now is I want you to turn to the greatest message that was ever preached by the greatest preacher who's ever lived. And it's found in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. So if you have your Bibles, whether it's in front of you or on your phone, I would love for you to just turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. There's one section that captures where we are right now. One passage speaks to every single life that is watching. Every single one of our lives. So whether you're married and you're surrounded by your kids and your spouse, or whether you're all alone, you're single, you're divorced, you're a widow or widower, this speaks to every single one of us. Whether you're very religious or you're irreligious, this speaks to us. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And I want you to listen to these words of Jesus. They are words that calm the heart, and they are words that clear our head. Now, Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34, before we get there, we're starting a 5-week series called Not Afraid. And much of the world is afraid, much of the world is worried, and they need not be. And so if you're joining us on Facebook Live, you know, at Harvest, a Church of New Beginnings page, you can interact on there. There's a scrolling area. You can introduce yourself right now if you want to do that. Don't get carried away, though, because I want you to pay attention. And the other thing, if you don't want to be distracted on Facebook Live, you can go to our website at harvest.church and just go underneath media to watch live. So if you don't want to be distracted on Facebook Live, you can go ahead and go to at harvest.church and to our media page. So, but I also want to invite you right now to share this. Share it on your Facebook page. Share this message right now, and let's invite other people. Invite relatives to join you. Text it to them, and let's just all dive into the Word of God together. And so let's do that right now. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Let's listen to these words of Jesus that teaches us we don't need to be afraid and we don't need to worry. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all of his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, well, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Not afraid. And you may say, well, how is it possible? Number one, change your perspective and remember there's more to life. We've got to change our perspective and remember there's more to life. And this is a great time for us to change our perspectives. A pandemic like this, a virus going around the earth, it just helps us change our perspective on life and living. Sheltering at home helps us change our perspective on life and living. And a change of perspective is a very good thing that teaches us important lessons about life. That's why in Matthew 6, 25, he says, for this reason I say to you, don't be worried about your life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So stop worrying about life. And if Jesus says it one time, he says it five times. Verse 25, do not be worried. Verse 27, but by being worried. Verse 28, why are you worried? Verse 31, do not worry. Verse 34, do not worry. So five times Jesus mentions the same thing to get our attention. And this is what worry means. It means feeling uneasy. It means feeling troubled. It's anxious. It's distressed. And the root of the word actually means division. The root of the word actually means distraction of mind. And so literally, when you worry, you're being drawn in different directions. Worry is pulling you apart. So when we worry, it pulls our mind apart. And when we worry, it pulls our heart apart. And when we worry, it pulls our life apart. That is what worry does. And he says, do not worry about life. And he's talking about the basic necessities. Now, most of us in America don't worry about food and drink and clothing. But now we find ourselves worrying about those things. We go to the grocery store and not everything is there. We can't go to certain stores anymore. And maybe that's why God teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. Now, I want you to notice something that Jesus does not say. Basic necessities of food and drink and clothing. But he never mentions your home. He's basically saying you're going to be okay, even if you were to lose your home. And you may say, well, that's not very comforting. It's the truth. Why would Jesus say that? Because Jesus didn't have a home. He was a homeless person. And he was okay. He had food. He had drink. He had clothes. If you have those things, you're good to go. You'll still be cared for. Someone will still take you in. Your needs will still be met. See, I want you to understand, we are experiencing something called a contentment learning curve right now. And this is important for all of us. We're being stripped of our wants, many of us, and we're falling back on our needs. And he asks this important question. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? I hope your life and my life revolves around more than food and more than clothing and more than what we're going to drink. What is life really all about is what he's asking. See, there's a deeper issue at play. And the deeper issue takes us back to the context of Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And so life, he's teaching us, is not about money. And it takes money to buy food, and it takes money to buy something to drink, and it takes money to buy clothing. And when money is our master, we will always worry about money. And when money is our master, we will never have enough money. And so times like these may be very revealing in revealing who our true master is. And our true master cannot be money. It has to be God and a contentment with what we have and leaving everything in his hands. Not afraid. How is it possible? Well, we've got to change our perspective, remembering there's more to life. Secondly, not afraid. How? Secondly, observe God's creation and learn to live by faith. And he says, I just want you to look at the birds, and I want you to look at the flowers, and I want you to look at the grass. He's basically saying, will you get outside, people? Get outside, or at least open up your window if you can't get outside. Right now, we are on coronavirus overload. I mean, everything, everywhere is coronavirus. I just want to encourage you, please turn off your TV, turn off Fox News, turn off CNN, turn off MSNBC, shut it down. Shut it down. And I'm not saying don't stay informed. I'm just saying take a break from it and do this instead. Look and listen and learn from God's created natural world around us. A lot of people right now are homeschooling. Kids are home from school. College is canceled. They're homeschooling. You know, high school, junior high, elementary, everybody's homeschooling. Okay, this is what we all need to be doing. We need to be nature schooling. You and I need to be schooled by nature. And depending on where you live, I want you to get outside and go for a hike in the woods, stroll along the beach, walk in the park, climb a mountain, whatever you need to do, but get outside. And God is saying, let my creation teach you some important lessons. And now this is what he does. He starts with the birds. Matthew 6, 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? So he says, I want everybody to become a bird nerd. I want everybody to check out the birds around you, okay? And I was doing this the other day, just running through the woods, and I saw an eagle along the river, and I saw cardinals chirping, and sparrows, and ducks, and there's a bazillion geese where we live. Just, they're everywhere. I don't know, but there's birds everywhere. So he says, I just want you to start watching and learning from the birds. Birds live a very simple life, a worry-free life. He says, they don't plant, they don't reap, they don't gather, and they don't worry about their next meal. He says, I don't want you worrying about your next meal. Yes, birds forage and they peck around looking for food, but they never worry. God provides, and he's going to provide for you. Now, ultimate care is in his hands. Job 38:41, who prepares for the raven its nourishment when its young cry to God and wander about without food. God takes care of them. Psalm 147:9, he gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens which cry. And then he says this, are you not more important than any bird? Jesus didn't die for the birds, but he died for you. He's going to take care of you. In Luke 12:6-7, are not five sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, you are more valuable than many sparrows. So he says, get outside, look at those birds. Now he says, check out the flowers of the field. Matthew 6:28. Why are you worried about clothing? Observe the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil nor spin. Yet I say to you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. You've heard the phrase, stop and smell the roses. Now he's saying, stop and watch the lilies. And he's talking about lilies of the field. These are not homegrown, cultivated lilies. These are wild, largely unseen, just out in a field flowers. And he says, they don't toil, they don't spin. They're not like a little toddler. You ever see a mom trying to dress a toddler? That little kid is all over the place and she's trying to put his pants on and his shirt over his head and he's kicking off his shoes. There's no toiling and spinning with these flowers. Some of you ladies trying to get your pantyhose on, get your dress on, get a shirt on. Some of you guys wearing skinny jeans. You have no business wearing skinny jeans, some of you guys. Okay? You're toiling, you're spinning. He says flowers don't do that. They are effortless in their beauty is what they are. No struggle. All a work of God. And he says, the richest guy in the world, Solomon, his clothes could not compare to a lily of the field. I picked up some flowers the other day. I was at a grocery store. I never buy flowers. I just don't. But I just thought, I just wanted to brighten my wife's day, Carla. And she put them in a vase by the window. And I was looking at that those flowers the other day. And I was just thinking of their beauty with this passage. And then I looked outside. And here's a picture of it. And behind it was a bird feeder with a cardinal on it. And I thought, God, there it is. The beauty of the flowers, the birds are taken care of. You provide for your children. You provide for nature, you provide for your children. And then he says, let's go look at one more thing, the grass of the field, Matthew 6:30. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow it's thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And again, he's talking field grass. He's not talking your lawns, guys. He's talking grass that's short-lived. It's going to be cut down and used to burn for fuel or burned to heat the house or to cook over. And so he's like, grass is short-lived and I take care of it. I'm going to take care of you. And then he ends verse 30 saying this, you of little faith. He's saying everything in creation teaches you, trust me. So let nature build your faith. Let God's creation increase your faith. Get outside, and the birds, as they chirp, are saying, trust him. And the flowers are advertising, believe him. And the grass is whispering, have faith in your God. Not afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Why? Change your perspective and remember there's more to life and observe God's creation and learn to live by faith. And here's the third thing. Recognize worry is worthless and stop wasting your time and energy. When we worry, it is worthless time and a worthless spending of our energy. Worry is never worth it. Worry never helps me. It never helps you. Matthew 6:27. And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? Worry is not going to extend your life. It's not going to improve our lives. It's not going to help our lives. Worry is a waste of our lives. It's a waste of my time and your time. It's a waste of our energy. And worry just leads to ulcers and arguments and sweaty palms and sleepless nights. Worry does nothing for us. Worry has been likened to sand in the machinery of life. I want to read you a quote by Dr. E. Stanley Jones, missionary to India, in his book Transformed by Thorns. Listen to what he says about worry. I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land, faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. A Johns Hopkins University doctor says, we do not know why it is that worriers die sooner than non-worriers, but that is the fact. But I, who am simple of mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed in nerve and tissue, brain cell and soul, for faith and not for fear. God made us that way. To live by worry is to live against reality. To live by worry is to live against reality. So worry is this sand in the machinery of life. I grew up at the beach. I grew up in South Jersey, just going to the beach many days of my life. And every year we go back to the Jersey Shore with my family. And when we're down at the shore and we come back with all of our stuff, we always rinse it off. Why? Because sand ruins everything. It ruins it. You got to wash it off. Worry will ruin your life. You've got to wash worry off of your life. You've got to wash worry out of your life. It affects us physically. Dr. Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic. Worry affects the circulation, heart, glands, and the whole nervous system. I've never met a man or known a man to die of overwork, but I have known a lot who died of worry. It affects us mentally. Statistics from the Brain Medical Journal. Most common mental illness are anxiety disorders. Estimates are 18% of the population. Maybe that's why in Proverbs 12:25 we read, anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. I pray that this message will be a good word that helps take your anxiety, your worry, and your fear alone. So what should you do? What should you do? What should I do when we start to worry? Because we all worry at times. What should we do? I'm going to tell you what not to do right now. Don't watch Contagion or World War Z or any zombie apocalypse movie, okay? And endless news coverage. Shut it down. Fill your mind with God's promises. Dig into the Word of God, like the promises found in this passage, and just let the Word of God bathe your mind and your brain with the truth. And so not only review His promises, but spend time in prayer. Pray about everything, worry about nothing, as the saying goes. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so get alone. Get alone and spend time with God. Go in your room, close the door, get on your knees. Just talk to Him about what's bothering you. Talk to Him about what's on your heart and your mind, and ask Him for help. And I encourage you to pray with others. Pray as a family, pray with friends. On Wednesday nights, started last week, we had our Midweek Boost Facebook Live prayer time. And we're going to do it this week as well on Wednesday at 7 o'clock Central Time. So I want to encourage you to join us. Join us online, Facebook Live, for our prayer time at 7 o'clock. Not afraid. How is it possible? Here's the fourth thing. Rest in your relationship and remember He knows you and loves you. You've got to rest in your relationship with God, you who have one, because He knows you and He loves you. There is a God. He's your heavenly Father, and He knows exactly what you need when you need it. Matthew 6, 31 and 2. Do not worry then, saying, well, what will we eat? And what are we going to drink? And what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. So He's saying, stop saying what you shouldn't be saying. Stop saying all the wrong things. Stop repeating all the wrong things. Well, what are we going to eat? And what are we going to drink? And what are we going to wear? And this negative reinforcement. And there's nothing wrong with good questions, but there's everything wrong with worrisome questions and fearful questions and just repeating yourself and rehashing it over and over again. And we do that because those are the words that come out of our mouth, come from the thoughts that we think in our head. And so we've got to control how we think. No panic, no worry, no fear will come out of our mouths when we're thinking right. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, well-known verse. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think on these things. The things you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And so we've got to dwell on the right things, and we also need to have people in our lives who give us the right example. There's too many bad ones around. We need good examples. And so we speak right, we think right, and basically what we've got to do is we've got to pull ourselves together, is what we've got to do. Now, some of us need a visit from a lady, and you know The Incredibles, the movie, Edna Mode. You may say, Edna Mode. Yeah, there's a great scene in The Incredibles. Watch it as a family sometime. And she's reminding Elastigirl who she is. And this is what she says. What are you talking about? You are Elastigirl. Pull yourself together. And she whacks her three times with that piece of paper. I just want to say, I want to be your Edna Mode right now, okay? What are you talking about? You are a child of God. Pull yourself together. And I want to smack you with scripture in love, okay? To help us and help me remember who we are. We are children of God. We've got to stop acting like the world. Verse 32, for the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. Unbelievers do not have a relationship with God. They don't have that personal understanding of a caring, loving God like you and I do. And we need to remember this. It says the Gentiles seek all these things. Let the world worry about their 401k, not you. Let the world hoard all the toilet paper, not you. Let the world panic, not you. You're different from this world. You and I are different, and we need to act different. The world's job is to worry. That's not our job. Our response is to trust. Now, certainly, if I can trust God to save me from my sins, and I can trust God to prepare a place in heaven for me, and I can trust God with my eternal destiny and security, I can trust God to provide my daily needs. Rick Warren put it this way. Worry is practical atheism. It is unbelief, acting like an orphan without a heavenly father who's made 6,000 promises to you. He's promised to love you. He's promised to provide for you. He's promised to take care of you, and he will. And for you who don't have a relationship with God, he's promised that he'll save you. He's promised that he'll forgive you of all your sin. And that's why he sent his son from heaven to die on the cross for you. There are promises for you. In Romans 10:13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I want to encourage you to call on the name of the Lord. Rest in that relationship with him. And he says, your heavenly father knows that you need all these things. He's your heavenly father, Christian. He knows. He's not unaware. Matthew 6:8, do not be like them, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. Psalm 139, O Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path, my lying down. You're intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Before there's a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. He knows it. He'll take care of you. He sees our needs. He knows our needs. Hebrews 13:5 is such a great promise to us. He himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You're safe. Psalm 37:25, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. Not afraid. You don't need to be afraid and neither do I. Why? Change your perspective and remember there's more to life. Observe God's creation and learn to live by faith. Recognize worry is worthless. Stop wasting our time and energy. Rest in our relationship and remember he knows you and he loves you. Here's the fifth one. Change your focus. And trust in God's provision. Change your focus. I changed my focus just recently. I got some new glasses. And I can see far with these glasses. I can see near with these glasses. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see is what I can do because of these glasses. They are bifocals or progressives, better word. Now, we need a new prescription or a new focus. And that's what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. So priority number one. This has to be priority number one in your life and mine. If you don't want to worry in this life, You've got to make God your number one priority. And if God is not your number one priority, you and I will worry in this life. And so he says, seek first, and he says, his kingdom. So I've got to have a preoccupation with the kingdom of God. God's rule and God's will and God's coming and God's agenda. I need to be about serving the king and building the kingdom and leading people into the kingdom and be a kingdom person. That's what you and I need to be. We need to be kingdom people. We need to pray about the kingdom. In Matthew 6, 9, and 10, Jesus taught us how to pray. And he said, pray this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we've got to replace this worry with something so much more important, something that's not temporal, something that's eternal. I waited in the store. I can't tell you. I can't believe I waited in line outside a store for toilet paper, but I did. And I visited like five or six stores, and you may say, well, why were you doing that? Because, well, word on the street was that this one store was going to be open at 8 o'clock and they had toilet paper. So I got there, the doors opened, I knocked people out of the line, I grabbed the goods. No, I did not. But I got in the store and I got the toilet paper, all right? And there's a picture of it, and it was personalized toilet paper with my name on it, which was even better. And so here I am with this toilet paper, and my wife and I had this idea. We wanted to go through our neighborhood and give people toilet paper and just supply a piece of paper with our names and our phone numbers, our cell numbers. And if they needed anything, errands run, any supplies, any food, just give us a call. And we were there. Why? Because we want to be kingdom people. That's why. And so, and we didn't even put the church's name on there. We didn't do any website stuff. We just wanted to say, we want to care for you and see how God would use that. So be kingdom people. And by the way, TP evangelism was born, but that's another story. So his kingdom, his righteousness, all right? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. The coronavirus is causing fear in people's lives. It's making people think about their lives. And I think God is getting hold of people's hearts through this time. I think for some people, they're being scared straight. There's things in their life they know that shouldn't be there. And they're scared. And it's good when God gets our attention. And maybe that's you right now. Your life could not be characterized by a righteous life. There's sin in your life. There's habits in your life. There's things in your life that are not right. And God has your attention. And he's saying, I want you to live a righteous life. And so for some of us, this is a time to confess sin. This is a time to repent or turn from sin. This is a time to clean up our lives and do business with God. Because maybe you're watching today and you've not been living right. And the priority has to be seeking him first and his kingdom and his righteousness, not what is right in the eyes of the world, but what is right in the eyes of God. And most importantly, that means confessing our sins and coming to faith in Jesus. And so if you're watching today in your living room at home, you need the Lord and he loves you and he'll forgive you. He knows what your sin is. He knows all of our sin. And he still loves us. And so I just want to encourage you to come to faith and call out to him and ask him to save you. And embrace this promise at the end in verse 33. And all these things will be added to you. Make him the priority. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And he says, you don't have anything to worry about. He says, let me take care of everything else. You just focus on me. So one last thing we learn. We're not going to be afraid. We've got to take one day at a time and stop troubling ourselves with tomorrow. Take one day at a time and stop troubling ourselves with tomorrow. Don't look too far down the road. Don't even look to tomorrow. Just focus on today. Matthew 6:34. So do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't be prepared. It doesn't mean you don't think ahead. It doesn't mean you presume and be foolish. But you don't worry. Do not worry about tomorrow. Earl Nightingale, in The Essence of Success, has these statistics. 40% of things you worry about will never happen. 30% are things in the past that can't be changed. 10% are considered insignificant issues. And 12% are issues about health that are never going to happen. Think of all the things that you worried about last year. Think of all the things you worried about 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You can't even think of those things, and neither can I. Before we know it, coronavirus is going to be a distant memory. And you're going to tell your grandkids about it. And you're going to tell them about how you are cooped up in your home. And you're going to recall these days, and you're going to remember playing games and watching movies and going to the grocery store. You're going to remember doing church online when you couldn't come to church, but we still did church. There's no reason to be afraid. Why? Let's review them together. We've got to change our perspective and remember there's more to life. Observe God's creation and learn to live by faith. Recognize worry is worthless and stop wasting our time and energy. Rest in our relationship and remember He knows you. He loves you. Change your focus, trust in God's provision, and take one day at a time. And stop troubling yourself with tomorrow. What I want to do right now is I want to pray with you and for you. And for some of you, I want to lead you in prayer. You may be watching this and you do not have a personal relationship with God. There is a God who loves you. And I just want you to call out to Him and ask Him to save you and ask Him to forgive you. Would you do that right now? Just pray with me. Pray with me in the quietness of your heart. Just call out to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I need you. Would you please forgive me of all my sin? I repent. I turn from my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for loving me that much. Lord, I place my faith in you. I can't save myself. Only you can save me. Forgive me, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you've been prompted by this message and are in need of a new beginning or would like more information about Harvest New Beginnings, visit atharvest.church.